Hey, 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 it's your favorite caffeinated, medicated, and never hydrated bestie. It's Nurse John, and welcome back to your favorite podcast. I beg your pardon, bestie. I miss you, miss you, miss you so much. How is everything going? I hope you're doing well. I hope life is going well. It's a busy time of the year because a lot of us is working. Some of us are so stressed finding gifts and making sure that we all have everything prepared for family events and dinners. The thing is, I love this month though. This is my favorite month of all the months because this is the month of our Christ is born and the month of giving, the month of just fun, holidays, winter wonderland type of thing. At least here in Canada, because it snows every time it's Christmas here. And I love, love, love it. Because when I used to live in the Philippines, we don't really have snow. And, you know, I think Christmas wouldn't be Christmas if there's no snow. And that's just for me, because a lot of us don't really experience snow or no winter, nothing. But for me, Christmas has to have snow in it for it to feel like it's like that cozy winter wonderland type of feels. Anyways, bestie, I miss you guys so much. And if you're listening to this right now it's Friday, December 15, I think. I am on my way to New York City to meet up my friends, Nurse Anna, Nurse Lindsay, and Nurse Joey. So those are my friends that I met this year, and we just bonded so well. And now we're all friends. We went to a retreat with Guard Malad. It's my first ever like influencer retreat, and it was so fun, and I've met these people there. And I mean, like Anna and Lindsay, I've met them before that because we spoke a little bit in social media when we follow each other, and then we went to a cruise together. And you know, after that I just vibe with them. They have this such like an easy going aura, and it just makes me feel good being with them because I can be my real self and I don't have to pretend to be something or to be someone. And you know, those friends that you don't have to feel like you always have to do something. Like you guys can just sit on, in a room doing nothing on your phone, not talking, but it's a bonding time. Like you guys are enjoying to being together, even though you're not talking, you're not doing anything. Just, you know, having to feel that their presence is around is how I feel towards Anna and Lindsay. And because we're going to NYC together at some point, I told them that I am going back to the Philippines this January, my first ever time coming back to the Philippines again. It's been 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. It's almost 5 years since I went back to the Philippines. And the last time I went back to the Philippines, it flooded so much because where we live in the Philippines, it's not under sea level, but like it's close to sea level. So every single high tide, which we always get because the Philippines is surrounded by water, which is almost like every single week, we always get like a flood. It's so common for us to experience it and we're not even shocked with it. Our house is just like, it's not waterproof or like floodproof, but we just deal with it. Like it's a normal ongoing thing. We basically live in the sea type of thing, you know, like we're like fishes. Anyway, so the last time I went back home, it was so fun, but at the same time, I was stuck at home for almost like 3-4 days because the flood was so big that I cannot really leave and there's no transportation that can go in and pick me up. I really have to swim in the waters, in the street, or find a boat that will pass to bring me to nearest city that has transportation or is above sea level. It was fun, but at the same time, I'm kind of just like pissed because I was there for like 2 weeks and like 3 or 4 days of that was just wasted staying at my house because I cannot do anything. Anyways, I told them I was going back to the Philippines this January. Sorry about that. Let me just crack open my rice fuel. And if you guys are wondering what's keeping me awake during my shift or just an everyday thing, it's always rice fuel. I discovered this energy drink 5 months ago and I love, love, love it so much. So I asked if we could work together and now we're working together. So you can find RYSE fuel energy drink. You can go to Google and type rice fuel locator and you can find the nearest one to you. They're in GNC, Walmart, 7-Eleven, vitamin shop everywhere. And I can even find them here in some places in Canada, but they're mostly in the US. But they're super good. One of my favorite flavor is peach cooler, because I love anything that's peach. Do you guys know that peach Bellini candle in Bath & Body Works? That is my favorite candle. I would literally finish that in like less than 48 hours, because I would just lit it up and leave it in my house for my house to smell like peach. And I love peach. So yes, find Rise Fuel nearest you and you can get this. Cheers, you guys. Oh. And plus, the reason why I'm drinking like energy drinks now is that even though I drink coffee, which I did this morning, I still feel fatigue. I still feel sleepy. I don't know why. And I know someone told me that too much coffee can actually depress you instead of stimulate you. But that's just one cup of coffee with like 3 shots of espresso. How come I still feel fatigue? I don't know why. So I had to drink an extra energy drinks. And usually this one boosts my energy up and I don't crash at the end of the day. And also it's flavored, so I like that. So good. Anyways, you guys, so I'm going back to the Philippines for a week to visit my grandma. And also we have a reunion, like a family reunion. So I don't know if you guys do this, but I think it's called a family function here in North America. But usually in the Philippines, what my family do in my grandpa's side and my grandma's side is that we always have a family reunion. My grandma has 9 siblings. Yes, you heard that right. 9 siblings. So from those 9 siblings, I actually have about 55 cousins. And every family reunion, which is usually December time or January, what we do is that we pick one of the siblings and they will host the reunion. And we all just gather there, sing, meet our cousins, our second or third aunties and uncles. And it's just fun. But it's always much fun when it's from my grandma's side compared to my grandpa's side. I don't know. I mean, it's always like that, right? It's always fun to be in your mom's side compared to your dad's side of the family type of thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but a lot of other people can relate to it. It's always fun in the mom's side. I don't know for some reason, but it's the same thing. That's the same thing for us. Anyways, this family reunion is in my grandpa's side, but my grandpa's not alive anymore, but we're keeping the tradition. So we're going there for the reunion. And at the same time, I just want to come visit my cousins, and my cousins had kids. So now I have nieces and nephews and I want to see them, and also meet my high school friends that I still in contact with because I miss them. It's been a while and I'm pretty sure they're all busy and they all have families now and whatnot, but I still want to see them because those are my core memories from my childhood and my teenager years that will forever be there. And we're still good friends, so why not? And then after that, I will be going to Japan. So here's a connection to this, because you guys, oh wait, what's happening with Anna and Lindsay then? And so I asked them, because I told them, hey guys, so January like 17th to the 25th, I wanted to go to Japan. Would you guys want to join me? And then Anna was just like, let me just check my schedule. And then after literally like 30 minutes, she's like, yes. Good, I'm coming. I'm like, wait, what? So they're coming to Japan. And of course, I'm not going to ask Lindsay to come with me. So Lindsay was like, because she's a travel nurse right now. So she had to check her schedule to make sure that she can actually leave that time. And I know Lindsay's husband, Jared, likes Pokemon and stuff. So I kind of like bribe her. I told her, I was like, you know what, Lindsay, if you come, like you can treat Jared to see the Pokemon and we can go to a Pokemon hotel and whatnot. They're like, oh my God, that would be his dream, blah, blah, blah. And at some point, I think like last week, she said, yes, guys, we're coming. So we're also coming to Japan together this January. Oh my God, you guys, I love, 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 love traveling. And also experiencing new culture, new food and whatnot, and authentic real food, because I love Japanese food too, but it's just that for some reason, you have to try it in the country itself because it will never be authentic. Even though, let's say here in Canada, we have like restaurants that are operated and owned by, let's say, Japanese people who immigrated from, you know, Japan to Canada,
But it's still different when you buy the ingredients and you cook it in the country itself, because that's more authentic than ever. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's what's happening. We're going to NYC now, and then January, we're all going to Japan. And around like May, I think there's another retreat with Guard Malad. So I'm so excited with that. There's so much things happening and I'm so happy. How's your 2023, guys, been? That's my question. Well, for me, I think I like 2023. So many things happen in 2023 for me. So what are the things that happened for me in 2023? I've met new people like Anna and Lindsay. I started my company, Nurse John Inc. The zip up hoodie I'm wearing right now is from my merch, www.nursejohnnn.com. This is the hypoxia hoodie, which is one of our bestsellers, and we just restocked it. As of now, there's a few items left. So if you're listening to this, Bessie, I'm so sorry if you don't have your size now because it's going really fast. But if so, go grab yours. You can sign up to the newsletter and you can get a 10% off to get this. But yeah, I opened my business. I got a manager. Her name is Logan. I love her so much. She manages all my brand deals and stuff like that. Also, I got married this year. Yep. And I know you guys know that already. And she's also a nurse. Yes, it's a she. Okay. And what else? I've traveled to Switzerland for the very first time. I went to Bali, Indonesia for the very first time. I went to South Korea for the very first time. My family's alive. I'm alive. We're healthy. Life is good. I started a new career as a nursing professor in clinicals. And some more opportunities came in my way. I'm talking about social media. In 2024, I'm releasing something really big and something that you guys have been asking for so, so long. You guys, oh my God, Nurse John, we want you to go. I'm not saying anymore. It's a surprise, bestie, okay? But hold on tight because we're going to get something fun. I promise you that, okay? But yes, there's a lot of things, but there's also some bad things that happens. You know, I lost some friends on the way in 2023, which is totally fine because I think like when you lose friends, that just means they're not meant to be part of your life. So I saw this quotations at some point, like, you know, a long time ago, some people are meant to stay in your life and some people are meant to just pass from your life. Like they're just meant to pass by in your life and they're not meant to stay. And that's totally fine because it doesn't only teach you things, it makes you grow, it brings you experience and you learn from it so that you either don't do it anymore or you do it again. You know what I mean? So yeah, that and what else are the negative stuff? Because I know you guys are going to be like, oh my God, John, you're talking about the positive and now you have to bring out the negatives because you always have to talk about every single thing about your life. Let you feel all the feels. It's okay. Talking about the negative things doesn't mean like you're going to be negative about your life or anything like that. It's more of like you're just vulnerable. You can open up to talking about the things that's good and bad. Because again, it's yin and yang, right? You balance the good and you balance the bad, and that's how life should function. What else happened? Oh, I went to therapy. That's another good thing. I started therapy and I'm so happy with therapy, and I could not ask for more because I got so much better. I feel so much better. And yeah, I cannot think of anything bad, honestly. I'm just so thankful that every single day I'm able to wake up and have another day to restart, to try to do something good again, to try to live my life, because not everyone has a chance to do that. And you really never know what life is going to be. So you just gotta enjoy it and do things that you want to do because life is not guaranteed. It's given to you, but if it's given to you, somebody can take it away that fast, that quick. So just enjoy life. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy life. Anyways, bestie, so this episode, you're probably wondering, oh my God, you talk so much. Well, that's the point, bestie, right? For us to have a conversation, for it to look like we're just, you know, catching up with things. I hope you're okay, though. I hope if you're in your shift right now, driving home, cooking, taking care of the kids, in a walk, in a run, or anything, I'm wishing you well, bestie. Okay? If you have no one to celebrate with this Christmas, we're celebrating it together. A heart. DM me. DM me on Instagram and just tell me, Nurse Sean, I'm alone today. I just need to talk to someone. Or you can just vent. Baby, you vent to me. Okay? I am your therapist. And I will do my best to help you out. Because I love you and I care for you. Okay? And if 2023 wasn't your year, that's totally fine, bestie. Okay? What we're going to do is we're going to move on to 2024 and restart and try to do things again. And try to make things work again. That's how life should be. You got to keep trying. I think the most important part in life is that you don't stop trying, because once you stop trying, that's when life stops. If you keep trying, your life will continue. A lot of times too is that we compare ourselves to other people, mostly in social media, because it looks like these people in social media have the most perfect, zen, like peaceful, fun lives. But it's not. Listen, bestie, it's coming from me, okay? When I film my day-to-day lives, that doesn't mean like I'm not going through something, I'm not feeling some negative stuff, or I'm not feeling a certain way. I am feeling something different, but of course, I'm not going to show that in camera, or I'm not going to show you guys how shitty the situation that's happening in my life right now. I'm going to show you guys the positive, the good. But that's what you got to remember. These people that you're watching in social media, 85% of the time, what they're showing you is the good stuff, not the bad ones. The bad ones, it's hard to show it because they're like, oh my God, what a crap, what a mess. Of course, they don't want to show that. They will be judged for that. But if they show something positive, they wouldn't be. And some people love it when people are envy of their lives. But the thing is, bestie, your own path, your own life has its up and down, and you have your wins and you have your loss, but that's totally fine. You cannot always win. You cannot always lose. It will come when it's meant for you. Okay? Beautiful, bestie. Well, this episode, it's a little bit negative, but hey, you gotta talk about the negative, like I just tell you guys. This episode is all about, tell me your worst ever day as a nurse that made you regret becoming one. I think we all had that point in our career where, oh my God, why did I even do this to myself? Or like, oh my God, why did I even went through all of this just to experience this? And mostly if you're working as a nurse or in healthcare, you have had that thought for at least 200 times in a week. And again, that doesn't mean like we hate our job or that we don't like what we're doing. But there are certain moments, events, and situations that makes you just like, ugh, I wish I should have just stayed in my McDonald's job. But again, you wouldn't want to go back to that McDonald's job. And I don't want to say that working at McDonald's is not a professional or legal or something. It's not a good job. It is a good job. I work in Burger King. I work in McDonald's. I work in Starbucks. But I'm just saying that with your degree now, with what you went for education, you wouldn't want to go back to where you are before. Like I used to work in Starbucks. Like I wouldn't want to go back to Starbucks to trade my nursing career, because this is what I studied for. This is where I put all my time and energy to get to where I am. You know what I mean? Like I prayed for this. I work hard for this. Why would I want to like go back? But it's just sometimes you're just like, I wish I could just go back to that McDonald's job because I have less responsibility in terms of like saving lives or stressing about so many other things. Because once you're a nurse or in healthcare, you are
responsible for so many things that was not written in your job description. It's always, always like that. And then sometimes you're just like, okay, well, let me go back working in Starbucks. At least there, I'm dealing with shitty customers sometimes, but they're going to go away after. But as a nurse or as a healthcare worker, sometimes they stay there for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months and you have to deal with it every single day. And that's what sucks. So that's why. Anyhow, I will be reading the stories that people submitted. So this is all real life, like every single episode. Everything is real life. Everything is from experience. And a lot of you can relate to it. A lot of you will feel seen and validated. Okay, let's start with number uno. I'm not a nurse, but the day I realized that I wish I never started in healthcare was about a month ago. I was a scheduler for a pain management office and a patient called in asking for her medication and I told her I can do that nurses can. She threatened to find my doctors and my house and do awful things if I don't get it filled by the end of the day. I left the clinic last week. You guys. I don't know how to react to this because it is so true that some patients feels entitled to threaten someone if they don't get what they want. Again, it's about entitlement, just like the episode last week. Some people feels like they have that power or authority over someone who they need help from. But in reality, that person that you need help from can just refuse to give you their service and you are done. And I completely understand that that person might be experiencing something, you know, crucial and something like, basically that person is suffering from pain. But, or maybe not. But the thing is, you cannot blame someone that they cannot do something that's not part of their job or that is not their job. The only thing that they can do, like concierge in a hotel, you cannot ask them to clean your room if their job is being a concierge and not housekeeping. But you want concierge to go up to your room and clean it right away, because if not, you will call security, you call the president, but they cannot really do anything because that's not their job. Just like this person experienced is that he got threatened and he got scared for something just because he cannot do something for this person. When he or she probably wishes he could do something for you because you're suffering, but they can't. And now look, this person quit their job because of you, because of your awful, disgusting, disrespectful manners. Some people just cannot, for some reason, cannot respect someone, cannot give the respect that they're getting. And when they are disrespected back, or if the other person fights back, they get mad. They're like, oh my God, you're so unprofessional. But aren't you being unprofessional too for doing that to someone? You don't have a job, but being a patient, you can also be unprofessional. Period. Per. Next. I work mainly as a dialysis nurse in a hospital, but I do flow to tele whenever there's barely dialysis patients. We had a low census of dialysis patients, like one patient, so my coworker got that one started and I got floated to tele. Things were going fine until my charge nurse comes up to me asking me why haven't I updated my board yet. Mind you, this was like 8 a.m. Perfect timing. I normally go in, introduce myself and do my assessment at 7:30 to 8 and try to get my meds ready. Once I have my meds ready for a room, that's when I change up the board while the patient is taking their pills. Anyways, I told her I get to it and she tells me that she could write me up if I don't update my board. Okay, the audacity. And I just give her an okay. From that moment, it went downhill. I would have said the same. First of all, it was way too early for her to be blabbing and asking you to do something when you're doing something more important than a board. I had a visitor get mad at me for not cleaning the patient prior to my lunch break and then threatened to sue the hospital if you don't get his BiPAP approved. Well, look at that. Entitled patient and an entitled charge nurse.
I don't understand why a whiteboard is so important in the morning for the charge nurse or your manager. Like, that shit could wait. The board is not gonna change the fact that my patient's surgery hasn't healed. That board is not gonna change the fact that my patient will stay in a hospital for this long. That board is not gonna expedite or help me feed my patient, medicate my patient, or resolve the short staffing we're having in this unit. Nothing. So that board can wait. And unfortunately, some people think what their priority is should also be the priority of others. We all have different priorities. We all have different ways of doing things. And not because it's not being done the way you want it doesn't mean it's wrong. And people need to really understand that. Other people doing something differently doesn't mean that they're doing it wrong. That just means that they have their own way and how their mind works better. And that's totally fine. We're all different. We're all not supposed to be the same. But some people at work likes to micromanage you and make you feel like, oh my God, I don't even understand why you're doing it this way. I don't know where you're learning. I don't know where streets you learn that stuff. My way. Or the highway. Period. And again, for patients, I don't know how much I'm going to repeat this. And I do understand because some people, when they listened to last week's episode, they told me like, oh, I completely understand what you're saying. But at the same time, you got to understand too, from the patient's perspective, that, you know, there are nurses out there who have treated us so badly that we react this way, or we're doing things this way, or we're being like pushed away, we're not being heard of what we're complaining about. And I completely understand that. But my response is always, not because you were treated badly before by someone doesn't mean that you're going to treat every single one of the same people, of the same people in that same profession, the same just because you were treated badly by one. We're not all the same. We're not all made the same shape. So why treat us how you were treated if you don't want to be treated that way? And I don't like it when people are like, well, that's my trauma response. Work on your trauma then, because it's not someone's responsible to take in the traumas you've experienced. It's not for them to experience it too and have PTSD and have their own trauma because of you. It's not about passing the trauma to others. It's about learning how to heal from your trauma and fixing it. And that's what I believe. But the thing is, like, people think that if you were treated badly by one doctor, every single doctor is bad. Or if you're treated badly with 2, 3, 4 nurses, every single other nurses will treat you the same. No, we're different. We all don't eat apple. We all don't love orange juice. You know what I mean? We're different. So you have to erase your experience. And I completely understand, you know, like if I was traumatized too before, let's say going to the hospital, I would probably have a panic or a defensive or an aggressive response. But the thing is, I have to always remind myself that this is not the same. This is not going to happen again. And I have to, it's really how you shift your mind. It's how you control your mind to think. And I know some of us have difficulty doing that because we are going through some mental illness or some past traumas and stuff like that. But again, you don't know what other people are going through, so you have to be kinder. And if you want a certain type of treatment, like if you want to be treated kindly or respected, you should give that. You cannot ask someone to respect you if you're not respectful yourself. Like you cannot just keep getting and never giving. That's not how the world works. But for some, yes. Anyways, so I am so sorry that you went through this, and I know if this happens again, girl, I think you should leave your work and find another job, because this is not it. Starting with your charge nurse, if she's acting like that, again, if you ever complain about her to your manager will probably believe your charge nurse over you, because again, she's charge. So she has this more authority. It's always like that. The higher you are in the platform, the more people believes in you or treat you better because you are not in the same level. Unfortunately, that's how the society is working right now. And it's not fair, but that's how it is. Next. I remember I had a student with me on the ward. I had just assisted a patient who was incontinent overnight into the shower. They had excessively opened their bowels on the bed sheet. Very common. My student, being their first day, ripped the bed sheet off with such force it flew the feces, oh my god, everywhere, including myself and this poor student. Those are your embarrassing first time working as a nurse moments. Listen, I know it could have been your worst day as a nurse, but also it was probably their worst day too as a nursing student, because first of all, who wants poop flying to them or in the wall or everywhere, anywhere? Because sometimes, you know, when I still remember when I was a nursing student, I always want to impress my co-assigned nurse, because I was like, you know what? If I impress her, she's going to give the best feedback to my teacher so that my teacher doesn't have to doubt me and my abilities and whatnot. So I always try to do that. But sometimes I think I try too much that I fail from it. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have went above and beyond. And I think if starting in nursing school, you're going above and beyond your job, that's not going to be a good look for you when you become a nurse, because that's what's going to happen. That's what you're going to be developing as a habit of trying to go above and beyond. And then you're going to burn out. You're going to deal with so much other crap. So just do the bare minimum. I'm not saying don't do your best, but, you know, stay with the job description, because that's how we're going to keep ourselves from burning out. I know it's hard as a nurse or as a healthcare worker, but guys, again, if you're not paid more, if it's $2, it's still not enough. If you're not paid $10 more for doing extra, why should you do extra stuff? Answer that. That's what I thought. You should not. No, not at all. Next, I had all five of my patients' families on my back and breathing down my neck the whole 12 hours off my shift. I was also a new grad that time and ended up crying just before my shift ended. I am so sorry. I could not have imagined having family members breathing down your neck the whole 12-hour shift. And I think it's about boundaries. It's building boundaries and telling them what you actually feel. Because if these people are telling you how they feel, if they're being like real to you, authentic, and, you know, just straight up, why can't you do the same to them? I am so sorry, but you don't have to ask me every single question. I don't know the answer. We'll wait for the doctor. We'll wait for this. We'll wait for that. But I don't have the answer for you. That's it. When I was working on the floor, you guys, when I have given them the most information I could and they still start asking me questions that is out of my reach or out of my job, I tell them, I would love to give you that information, but unfortunately, I don't know. That's it. And you just stop. That should put an end to it, basically. Okay? So just tell them, like, I'm sorry, I would love to give you that information, but I don't know. I just don't have that information. I don't have a control to it. I don't have the power to do it. That's it. It's putting boundaries. It's setting the boundary and letting them know, sorry, but you guys are pissing me the fuck off. That's basically it. Next, I was with an elderly patient whilst working in an aged care facility, the AIN, assistant in nursing. So basically a PAB. Like a CNA, we're giving the patients a bath, the classic understaffed, not enough hours in a day, so all that CNA were rushed. In doing so, this one, CNA, put moisturizer on the wet wipe instead of soap and started to clean the patient's bottom area, all parts of this area. Oh my God. In doing so, I could see and smell the fecal matter being smeared up. Oh my God, smeared all up and down the patient's back and sides. I told the CNA she had used moisturizer and it's all over the patient, and she continued wiping and telling me soap and moisturizer are all the same and that it doesn't matter. I then pointed out what was being smeared all over the patient and that it wasn't okay. Again, she told me it's all the same and that it didn't matter. You guys, I have had coworkers like this who are just so stuck with their beliefs and stuck with their ways, and they don't want to be proven wrong. They don't want to be called out for something that is wrong. So they just continue doing it because they don't want to get embarrassed. But it's not an embarrassment when someone tells you something that you're doing something wrong. Again, correcting and letting someone know that they're doing something wrong is two different things. Okay, there's a way to say it, of course, not being passive aggressive, but more of like, hey, I think you're using a moisturizer instead of a soap. That's a good approach. But if you're like, are you stupid? You're using a moisturizer to what? That's more aggressive. And, you know, you're going to get what you basically ask for. But again, if you ask nicely and they still do it, girl, I am so sorry that you had to go through this. Like, you could have taken charge of it though, because again, like, you're the nurse, that's your patient. And if it's wrong, you can just stop her from doing it. Continue. She then dressed the patient and put the patient back on their back in their clean clothes to also point out this patient was nonverbal and quite fragile. After quickly realizing I wasn't going to win against this particular CNA, I went straight to my department head and reported what had happened. The response was somewhat of a write it down and we will look into it. On that exact same day, I had another CNA getting a patient up from a chair by pulling the patient's arm by his wrist. Again, this is barely verbal. Extremely fragile patient. I very quietly went over and told the CNA she should never pull a client up from a chair like that, let alone by the wrist. She literally shrugged me off and continued pulling, to which I then stepped in and assist the man up in the correct manner. Again, I felt that particular day that the nursing system was horrible. I reported the CNA and what she was doing, as I will always advocate what's right for my patient. I hated the fact I had made two reports in one day against two CNAs, but I also knew it was the right thing. Well, what do you know? Within 2 weeks, I was out of a job and ended up in a court case with a company for unfair dismissal. So somehow, me advocating for the client's health and safety got me fired. I've actually never had the strength to enter back into nursing at any hospital or facility for the fear of the same thing happening when all I was doing was putting my client's health first. It's so sad to wonder how many of this event happens and how they are handled. Okay, well, first of all, girl, I will just let you know that you did the right thing. You advocated for your patient. You advocated for what is right, because again, in every single profession, there will always be bad apples. And it exists in every single profession, no matter where you are. But the thing is, you have to remember that what you're doing is important. You have to protect this vulnerable, sick, unable people from those kind of people. There are abusive people out there who would take advantage or who would abuse those people because they're vulnerable. But you did the right thing, girl. You reported it. And unfortunately, who you reported to was not the type of people who would do something about it. So the best thing that you could have done is leave. And you did. You left. Because you cannot really change those people. Those people are so stuck up their ways and they will forever that way. The only thing is that it's so sad and it's so bad for the patients who have to deal and who have to be under the care of those type of people. And again, it exists in so, so many places, and it's probably happening right now. You know, elderly being mistreated and so many other things. And it's just so sad to think that they have to experience this. But again, the people like you, the people like us who actually advocate for a patient, who actually cares for them, who actually has the heart to care and to protect them, should always keep doing it. And don't be scared to go back again in nursing. And unfortunately, you can experience it again, because again, it's nursing and it's a job. And every single job, there's always going to be somewhat, somehow, someone who's always going to be a bad apple. But never ever lose your heart. Never ever stop doing what you're doing, because you're doing something positive, something good for others. And that's the purpose of nursing, to nurse someone, to advocate for them, to heal them. Okay, and I'm really sorry that you had to go through this. The worst day of my nursing career, med-surg, 4-3 inpatient unit. One lady comes up from the ER. I walk in, get her cell, and go to put the BP cuff on. I see what I think is dirt on the bed sheet near the head of the bed and go to wipe it away. Turns out it was a lice. Oh my God. Crawling off her head onto her pillow and all down the bed sheets. You could literally see it standing at the foot of her bed. Oh my God, ew. Bed, looking at her lying there. We did 4 lice treatments in full PPE, and I begged her to shave her head, but she refused. Listen, girl, the things you see in the ER is giving Paris. It's giving bed bugs and bed bugs and lice too. Oh my God, I just don't understand, but there are just people, like, I don't understand how they can live with those kind of things, like lice or, I don't know, body odor. Because sometimes I would go to the gym, and this is just my observation, and I'm just sharing this to you guys. But there are people who does not use deodorant when they should be using deodorant. You know what I mean? And I'm not... Because I have been in many situations, and the worst was when I was in the plane, okay? And the guy in front of me had a very, very bad body odor. And it's just, how do you guys not smell that? Like, how do you not smell that smell that I'm smelling? And it wasn't just me, because the people that was sitting next to me were all covering their mouth with the pillow, the head pillow that the airline gives. And I was like, guys, you're not saying anything about this. And, you know, I would never say anything like that to someone, because for some reason I'm not confrontational, okay? But goddamn, it was an 8-hour flight and I had to freaking snort the smell. Like, it stayed in my nose for a good like 6 hours after landing. But guys, like, and some people, like, I've heard this so many times, they're like, oh my God, it's the winter time, you don't sweat, so it's fine. No, the coldness, you not sweating, is not a reason for you to not wear deodorant. Guys, deodorant is like $8 or less, or a bit more, but please wear one, okay? Like, what's so hard about it? Like, I still don't know why they don't smell themselves, but, you know, other people smell them. Ugh. And again, I'm sorry, I'm not being judgmental, but I'm just saying, you know, take care of yourself. That is a basic thing that you do. Like, it's like brushing your teeth type of thing. I'm not going to act like, you know, Mr. Perfect in here, but because at one point, my patient was telling me literally, I was auscultating her heart. So I was very close to her face, and she's like, God damn, your mouth stinks. I was like, shit. I was like, okay, Sylvia, I'm sorry that I only had coffee this morning, okay? I'm sorry that it stinks. But elderly people, no filter. They would tell you straight up how they feel and what they're thinking. No filter. And I praise them with that. But at the same time, like, oh, come on. You can say it in a nice way. They're like, smells like death, baby. And I cannot. Girl, I hope you didn't got the lice in there, but oof, that's, ugh, I could never. I would never. I would be itching too. Like, how did she not itch every single day if she has lice? Oh, oof. I still remember back in the Philippines, my cousin used to have a lice. And my grandma used to buy this really, really like thin, no, like almost no space comb so that she can comb the lice, and she pricks all those lice. Ugh, it was, oof. It's giving me like chills right now because I hate lice so much. Oof. Shave your head, baby. Shave it. Next, worst ever day as a nurse. Getting fired for accidentally leaving a prescribed PR and Ativan in a comfort care patient's room on the computer top. Without being spoken to by the manager about what happened, I accidentally left it there because I decided that the patient did not need it, and the fall alarm went off in my high fall risk restrained patient. And the fall alarm went off in my high fall risk restrained patient's room down the hall that I ran to and caught the patient before they hit their head. Was in there the whole night with six other patients. Later on, the manager reported me to the board for suspected diverting base off of this one incident. I am a traveler and was only there for 2 months. She was horribly nasty person for putting me through that hell. Regretted becoming a nurse that day. How are we gonna debunk this situation? Because at the same time, it's true that we really cannot, because Ativan 2 is still like, it's a high-risk medication, but I understand that your patient is getting it for comfort, but it's just the fact that if you leave it there, there is a chance that, let's say, a family member or someone can just grab it from there and like inject it to your patient or to themselves or anything. And it's really, really dangerous. Like Ativan is, I mean, like it's not the most dangerous medication out there, but I'm just saying that it still has its like side effects and like complications and stuff. And you cannot just, you know, leave it in there. It's like hydromorphone. Like, I mean, hydromorphone is another discussion right there, but still, I completely understand. And it could have been, you know, a situation of you having to prioritize your patient who's falling from the bed and it just went off. But I kind of understand at the same time, like, you know, that's very, very crucial, that kind of like medication. If it was Tylenol, I would understand. Sure, it was Tylenol. But Ativan, it's a little bit more controversial. I don't know what you guys think about this. You guys can tell me what you think about this after listening to this. But yeah, I understand that. But what I don't understand is your manager firing you instead of like talking to you first and letting you know, because we all make mistakes, right? I have left medication sometimes in my patient's room without knowing, oh my God, I forgot to give this to my patient, but I left it in like the side of their bed or something like that, or somewhere in the room. And I come back to it, but I write it as an incident report. But the thing is, if your manager fire you for that one incident, well, your manager intentions are not good, because that manager wants you to be out of that place, because that's really, really passive aggressive. Them not talking to you, them not addressing it, them not writing an incident report to it, them going straight up to the council and reporting you for that is crazy. Because that should be talked to first. Again, maybe because you're a traveler, they did that to you. Because I have heard so many stories from travelers that they are being treated differently or harshly just because, you know, they're getting paid more or they're only there for like 3-4 months. But this units have to remember that this traveler are the people who's filling up what's missing in their units. So they should be thankful and they should treat you right. Because without you guys, they would be short staff AF. Again, there are always going to be shitty units and shitty people. But the next time, you just got to remember to not leave that medication. And I completely understand what you meant, that you had to prioritize your situation. But at the same time, that medication, you could have bring it with you or, you know, just throw it quickly. And I know it's hard to think when you're in that very, like, stressful situation, but
all you can do is leave that very, very shitty job, because what your manager did is the wrong thing. Them just straightly reporting you and trying to get you fired was the wrong thing. Their intentions are bad. Next. I'm not a nurse, but I work as a continued care aid group home for our cerebral palsy patients. I ended up quitting after 7 years. And I quit without 2 weeks' notice. So to start from the beginning, this group home I work for was under social services. So all residents were paid for except one. One lady was 63 years old. She paid out of her pocket. Yet the group home is only for people between 20 years old until 60. She was 63. The management did not want to move her to a different group home because she paid her own money. And they did not want to lose those money. This lady was abusive to every single person. There was not a single person that was not abused by her. And we're going back to last week's episode of physical abuse from patients. I have no idea. And again, I've gotten so many messages from like patients in my Instagram and them coming in and telling me like, oh my God, you don't understand what I went through as a patient. Like, you will never feel the how I feel in my shoes. I was a patient too before. I have had situation when I was a patient where I got so pissed because I was not being given attention or anything. But one thing I have never done to the healthcare workers is abuse them verbally, physically, emotionally, or do something that's going to, I don't know, affect them negatively. Because a lot of times, your emotions, your anger, your anxiety, your confusion on things, goal is to hurt someone. Because that's what's going to make you feel good. When you're able to hurt someone because you feel hurt. That's always the goal of your feelings. Okay? And the thing is, again, it's not for you to feel empowered or have the authority to treat other people like that. Mostly the people that you need care from. Like, why would you treat them shitty if you need help from them? And like, what do you know behind the curtains that's making you think that the reason why they haven't attended to you is because they hate you or they don't want to give you attention? Have you been short staffed? Have you have to deal with 15, 20 patients alone? You don't know what's going on in someone else's life. So for you to attack them because you're not getting what you need at the moment, it's not right. You have the right for care, and you have the right to be respected and the right to a proper service, but those healthcare workers also have the right to be treated with respect and care. Because without us, who would care for you? Nobody, baby. Zero. Oh my God, I'm so sorry that you had to go through this, and I hope you, well, you did quit. Good for you. And find another job where you are respected. Like, they're not tolerating this kind of people. And again, it's all about money, baby. Money, money, money. Next, I picked up a shift. One of my patients' family verbally abused me because I don't take good care of their loved ones so well, like not giving her a shower, making her a cup of coffee, making the bed when the patient is independent. To top it off, we had 3 times emergencies, which includes 2 times code gray and a 1-time patient's death. This all happened on a night shift. Same thing. I'm not going to repeat everything. There are people who feel entitled that they can just treat someone because they don't see what's happening behind the curtain. We really cannot do anything about this. We can report. And if they don't do anything about it, you got to leave that job. Because if your manager, if your unit cannot protect you and you cannot protect yourself, nobody's going to ever protect you. You have to find an employer, a job that will protect you and will listen to you and will validate you that you are okay and that you are right. And, you know, you are safe. Your safety is more important than anything else. Next. My first day working as a nurse made me regret everything. Well, we all had that situation.
I was on a med surge and being oriented by a nurse who had been working there for years, and even she was overwhelmed. Our patient's brain was destroyed because of meth use, so she had the mind of a five-year-old. She had an FMS, fecal management system, which I learned was basically a butt catheter because she was incontinent of severe explosive diarrhea. Lovely. But every 30 minutes, she would push the FMS out of her butt. Oh, God. It was inflated to the size of a softball, and she pushed it out at least 6 times that night. So she was constantly covered in blood from pushing it out as well, and the nasty diarrhea. So we had to clean her up and then put it again multiple times that night, all while she's screaming and hitting us. And the cherry on top, she pulled out her IV twice that night. I quit there by the end of the year. I now work in L&D and love my life. You guys, you will never understand how chaotic it is in med-surg. So for anyone who doesn't know what med-surg is, it's basically the unit full of different animal from the Amazon. That's how I would it's like a zoo with all the different types of animals in it. I'm not calling my patient animals, but just to kind of like preface it, it's like you'll see every different kinds of personality and things in med-surg. People climbing in the ceiling, ghosts, people running naked, people like screaming, everything. That's why when I left med-surg, I was fine in the ER. I was like, my God, I have seen this before. Oh my God, that's not new. Oh my God, that's a little bit new, but it wasn't so new because I've seen that before in med-surg. Med-surg would literally like sharpen you up and prepare you for the future. And good thing for her, she moved into L&D because L&D and med-surg, two different things. L&D, it's more of like, let me drink that tea, baby. Pour it up while it's hot. And I love that. I would listen to drama. Again, we don't like to be involved in the drama, but we love to sip it up. Next, my worst nightmare as a nurse, when the guilt is brewing in your gut because your patients are dying right before your eyes and you can't do anything more because you were set up to fail by your employer for their own benefit. Hospital greed is real and it has to stop. I hope you continue to use your platform to educate the real world what are the real problems behind the closed door of nurses, physicians in every hospital system in the US. I had to leave bedside because my mental health is at risk and my moral compass is not aligned with what is happening. But I will forever carry the guilt of every patient died under my watch in the ICU and their families grieve as they beg to save their loved ones. Another heavy topic, because I have had those situations too that I wish I could have done better to for my patient. But the thing is, like, again, you don't have all the abilities in the world. You can only do your best, and that's enough. And again, best is you advocating. Best is you giving the best care you could possibly do. But one thing you should never, ever, ever do if you did your best and you did your job is regret and feel like it was your fault because this all happens. It's not your fault. Like you said, you were set up for failure by your own unit and this healthcare system and this hospital. It is not your fault. It is not your obligation to do that. It's theirs. But it feels a lot for you. It's heavy for you because you're the person taking care of that person. You're the one seeing all the shit unfold. And I am so sorry. I have been through that too. But you gotta remember, if it's out of your control, it's not your problem. Okay? As long as you did your best, and your patients know that. Your patient know when you did the best that you could. Okay? I love you and I'm so sorry. Now, for a last story, it's about my worst day as a nurse that made me regret being a nurse. And a lot of you guys have always been asking me from the very beginning and every time I go on live on TikTok and Instagram, do you really hate nursing that much? Or do you really like being a nurse?
because all of your videos, you always talk about all the negative stuff of the being a nurse. No, I don't hate being a nurse. I love it, actually. But I just have to shed some light on the realities that we're facing that is not being brought up out there. Okay, because the thing is, like, you cannot just keep talking about the positive of nursing. There are so many other people that's talking about that already, and I'll leave it to them. But for me, I'm gonna talk about reality. I'm gonna talk about facts. I'm gonna talk about things that is not being shown or not being talked about more. Okay, so the moment that I hated nursing was when my manager and my nurse educator sat me down at one point in a random day. But I don't hate my manager. I love my manager so much. But, you know, she was just brought up this whole list of things that I did wrong. Okay? That I was never even approached about. And I was sat down and they told me, like, "Hi, John, we just wanted to talk to you and speak to you about these things that some of your colleagues have brought up." And I'm like, "Oh, fun." I thought, you know, and that time, I think I've told you guys this story already, but that time I thought they're going to be talking about my social media. And I was just like, my heart was pounding. I think it was like 195 beats for freaking minutes. Because I was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry, you guys." And I used to film a bit more in the hospital back in those days. So I was just like, "Oh, I'm going to lose my job. That's it. That's all." And again, like, the strictness of, like, filming here in Canada is very different when it comes to, like, the US. The US is more strict and you can get fined or sue. And it's the same thing here in Canada too, but it's not that crazy like in the US, because I have seen so many other nurses who have filmed in their workplace and they got sued or they got canceled and so many other things. And it's the same thing here in Canada, but we're not that crazy, okay? And I stopped filming for a long, long time. Like, I think, like, after, like, 6-7 months of, like, making TikToks, I stopped filming and I decided to film everything at home because why not? And for people asking where I got my supplies, it's called Amazon. It's called Medical Supply Store, you guys. They exist, okay? They're like, "How the hell did you brought home a wheelchair or, like, an IV pole?" Because you can buy them off the market, anywhere, everywhere. No, I didn't took it from my freaking hospital. How the hell do you want me to take an IV pole? You really think I'm going to freaking care, roll that shit down the 10th floor to the garage and shove it up my little car? Absolutely not. No, it didn't come from there. And also, the thing is, like, some of my friends, they're actually teaching nursing and they always have supplies that are expired. So sometimes I ask them, I was like, "Guys, can I have, like, your surgical kit or, like, your expired catheter kit?" And they give it to me. That's it. Connections, baby. You need connections. Anyhow, so I was sat down and they talked to me and they told me, like, "Hey, John, we just want to address this few things to you." And again, those few things that they addressed to me was never ever brought up to me. Like, they never, like, none of the people who complained about those things have ever come to me first, which is how you resolve a problem, right? If you have a problem with someone, you approach that person first, you tell them what's wrong, and if they're not, like, responsive to it, if they don't want to communicate with you, you then proceed to the next step, which is another higher up. You don't just go from, like, knowing what's the problem and then reporting it to the higher freaking person and wanting that person to just lose their job. Anyways, none of these people, which some of these people have their own little fucking problems too, that I shut my mouth and never said anything. And I know that's wrong and I should have said something, but guess what? I just know that if I say something, because this people has a higher status compared to me, I know I would never be believed. I know they would not believe my story or what I said or what I'm complaining about, just because this people
have sucked those higher ups. So they, you know, they're pets. So they would believe them more. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to shut up my mouth, do my job, and get out from this job. Anyways, like every other unit, there's always a drama. And then they were telling me all of this. And one of them was when I was being trained. And I think the situation was that there was... So we had a patient who's coming in for a liver transplant. And there is a pathway, a pre-transplant pathway that you have to follow so that they can prepare this patient to go on, you know, the transplant, the surgery. But the thing is, that was the first time I was being trained in that very specific. And you actually need to go on like an educational, you have to earn a certificate to be certified to be able to do that kind of nursing in that unit. And I wasn't trained yet. Okay. And so I was just learning, and because they know that I did my clinicals there before, that's why I got the position, they think I know what I'm doing. And so then the person that I was with, that I was paired up with, giving me all of this duty, they're like, just read this and follow all of it and you can do it. While that person was not really doing anything. When that person was supposed to be guiding me, because they are my co-assigned nurse, they should be orienting me in the unit. And then so I was like, okay, well, I did this and this and this and this. And one thing I forgot is to collect bloods. There's like 4 tubes that I have to submit and I forget it, but I did all the 10 other things that was in the list. And again, it was really hard for me to understand the pathway, because the thing is, the pathway is written in a way that you have to know what you're doing for you to be able to know what it means. And the collecting the blood wasn't too clear, so I didn't know that I have to collect the bloods right away. I did collect the bloods, but the thing is, I didn't send it right away. And then so the doctor and my assistant head nurse comes into the floor, and they were asking about the patient, while my co-assigned nurse who was supposed to be precepting me was like going around the unit, was just chatting with other nurses when she should be guiding me and she should be with me. And for some reason, she was occupying herself with other nurses' patients because she's trying to help them instead of helping me when I'm the one she should be helping. Like, she was helping other nurses to do their job instead of her helping me when I'm the one she should be helping, because I'm her orientee, okay? So she's letting me to do every single one of it when it was actually my 4th day of orientation. Anyways, so I did the ninth step, and I forgot the 10th step, where I collected the blood, but I didn't send it right away because I completely forgot that I collected it. So I put it on the side next to my table. And so my assistant head nurse manager was there, and the surgeon was there, and they're asking, how was the pathway? Is everything done, check? They check everything, and they're like, oh, where is the bloods? Because it didn't show up in the computer. And my preceptor, for some reason, arrived, and she's like, John, where is the blood that you're supposed to be doing? And I was like, what do you mean? You were supposed to be collecting like bloods and sending it right away. And I was like, oh, it's right there, because I forgot to collect another one. So I was just waiting to collect it because my patient went to the bathroom. Anyways, since that incident, it was an incident, I didn't know that my orientee reported that to the manager and said that I was so careless for not being attentive and doing my job when I'm not even trained to do that job right away. But she never told me anything about that. But what she told me at that time is like, that's okay, it's fine. Just collect the blood and then send it right away, because the surgeon and our assistant manager is looking for it now. So we have to send it. Like, she told me that in the nicest, relaxed, calm way, but I didn't know that she reported that to our manager and told me that I was careless and inattentive of my job. And so I had a doubt that, you know, that I had it in my head that this was going to be a problem in the future. So what I did is I always write in my Apple Notes situation and things that makes me think that, oh, this could be a problem at some point. And you know what? The things that I wrote in my Apple Notes became a problem. I don't know how I guess all of those things to be causing to be a problem, but it did. And you know, like I always tell you guys, documentation beats conversation, because when my manager brought this up to me, I read to her that, oh, actually, I noted that very, very specific situation because, you know, my orientee who was supposed to be helping me let me do everything in the pathway when I am not aware of how to do it completely, because that was my fourth day of orientation, while she was helping other nurses who she was not supposed to be helping because they can do their own job, but she decided that she's going to go around, chit-chat, and help other nurses when she should be helping me, you know? And I just know that I was being set up for failure in here. Like, I am so sorry. And there are so many other things. I think there was like 5 or 4 situations that was so petty, so small, so shitty that in my head, I was like, guys, written down here in my phone. And I have proved them all wrong. But guess what? I just know that they didn't believe me. They think that I'm still incompetent when all of my freaking patients always has a feedback whenever they leave the hospital. And you know what? They always come back because those patients always gets complication, like kidney, liver transplant patient. They always come back. And guess who's the nurse they're looking for? That's right, bitch. That's right. And they always leave a feedback because you know what? At the end of the day, what I really care is what my patient thinks and what my patient feels, because I care about my patient, not this colleague. Because again, not every workplace is going to be perfect and it will never be perfect for everybody. But what you're going to have to remember is that as long as you're doing your job properly, as long as you're serving the people that you were meant to serve, that's enough. These coworkers, you don't got to please them. At the end of the day, these people, they're earning the same wage like you, okay? Some people just like to micromanage. Some people like to suck it up. Some people just wants to, you know, get ahead in the unit, in their career, and they have to do this petty shit to get there. But you, baby, you got to remind yourself that we're not playing dirty, that we're doing our job and we're leaving this freaking job and not stressing about those people. I hated being a nurse moment because I was just like, this is so fucking petty. I have done so much shit for this unit and none of you all fucking tell me about all of these things. And now, after 7-8 months, you guys are coming to sit me the fuck down to tell me all of this shit that you guys could have addressed on that same fucking situation, but you did not, because you guys have to fucking collect all of that information and put it and make it look like a big fucking problem when it's not. And guess what? It was not a fucking problem because I proved you all fucking wrong. And that's on fucking period. Anyhow, I can just say so much things, but all I know is the turnover rate in that unit at the moment faster than fucking Usain Bolt. That's all I can say, because there are so many things that they could have changed, but they haven't changed it, and they still think that everything they're doing is right. But I'm gone, baby. Bye. Not my fault, not my problem anymore. Anyhow, bestie, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and I'm so happy that you're here, and I'm so sorry that that's so negative in December, this episode. But hey, next week's episode is gonna be fun, it's gonna be heartwarming, it's gonna feel like holiday, it's gonna feel like, you know, the gift of giving and season of love. Because don't worry, guys, we have some positive stuff to end the year.
Anyways, you guys, please do me a big, big favor. Make sure that you download this episode and all the other episodes that you haven't listened to on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And make sure that you share this episode so that other people can listen to it. And please, please, please keep sharing our podcast so that we can stay up on the chart so that other people can listen to this. The reality, the truth, and all the drama and the gossip that's happening in our world of healthcare. I love you, love you, love you guys so much. Please take care of yourself. Please take some time off. If you ask for a PTO this holiday season and they refuse it, baby, still go on that PTO. Give yourself the PTO. Unpaid time off. Prepare the others because you deserve that holiday off, baby. Are they going to fire you? They fire you. You know what? It's their loss, not yours, because you can find another job again. Okay? I love you, love you, love you so much. Stay caffeinated, medicated, and hydrated. And always remember, you are love. You matter. You are worthy. And you are beautiful, bestie. I love you so much. See you all next week. Mwah.